from Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. This is God's word to us. So God said to Noah, "I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high." And then he goes on to list some more details about how Noah should build this ark. Go down to verse 22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. The Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the 2nd month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his 3 sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings, pairs of creatures, of all creatures that have breath of life in them, came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. This is God's word to us this morning. Let me tell you a story. And as I tell this story, see if you can recognize it. Okay? So it's about a man. That doesn't give you much detail. Okay? It's about a man who listens to God's word. And this man has a big building project. He is building a big structure. And it's a good job that he does, because one day the clouds begin to gather, the rain begins to fall. Do you know who I'm talking about? The rain falls so heavily that it causes a big flood to happen. And this man's building is at the center of the story. Because this man's building fell flat with a great big crash. So I'm not actually talking about Noah and his ark. This is a story that Jesus told. It's a story about a foolish builder who builds his house on sand. And so when the storms come, the house did not stand. And Jesus says, that person is like someone who hears my words, but does not put them into practice. The point of the story is this. It is possible to hear God's word, and for that not to be enough. It's possible to agree with everything that you read in the Bible. It's possible to understand everything that we talk about here at church, and for that still not to be enough. It's possible to say, "I believe it all." It's possible for you even to be able to tell me that Jesus is the only way to be saved, that Jesus died on the cross to pay the punishment for the sins of everyone who trusts in him. It's possible to say, "And then he rose again after 3 days." It's possible to say all of that, and for that still not to be enough. Something else is needed. You might be in that position and still not be saved from the judgment that we deserve. Something else is needed. Last week, we learned together that God provides the way to be saved. But it's all very well knowing the way to be saved. But how do we take hold of that for ourselves? Knowing the right information is not enough. If you're not trusting the Lord Jesus, that's like standing on the deck of a sinking ship and saying, I know that the way for me to be saved from this sinking ship is to get in that lifeboat over there. That's pointless information unless you get in the boat. So how do you get in the boat? How do you get into the ark? How do you know the salvation that Jesus provides? How do you experience his grace? Well, the answer is by faith. Last week we ended with a verse in Ephesians chapter 2. It says this, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. What does it mean to have faith? Well, the story of Noah is going to help us out. What does faith look like? That's something we talk about perhaps in vague terms about something that goes on in our head. It's kind of a bit mystical. But what actually is faith? What does it mean to believe what you hear? Well, Noah shows us, firstly, that faith hears and does. Very simple. Faith hears and does. If it helps you to remember it, think of it as faith HD. Faith HD, okay? This is seeing faith clearly, like an HD TV. And faith in a very simple form is hearing and doing. Faith hears and does. Now, what does it mean to believe something? What does it mean to believe something? It's quite a hard thing to define, isn't it? I'm going to need a volunteer to illustrate something. Perhaps one of the youngsters. Anyone brave enough to volunteer? Yes, Grace. Come on then. Come up to the front. Now, Grace, come stand here. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and to put out your hand, okay? And then I'm going to put something in your hand, which is either going to be something really nice, or it's going to be something absolutely disgusting, and as soon as it touches your hand, you're going to be able to feel that it's really disgusting, okay? But it's okay, because I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be something disgusting, it's going to be something nice. Do you believe me? Maybe, okay. If you believe me, then I want you to close your eyes and put out your hand, and I'll go get it. Okay, well, something good. Thank you very much. You can sit down. A round of applause for Grace. That was very brave. But here's the point, okay? How do we know that Grace... She wasn't sure to start with, but then she made a decision. She either was going to believe what I told her, that it was a nice thing I was going to put in her hand, or she wasn't going to believe it. How do we know that she believed? How do we know that she believed? She did it, right? So she closed her eyes and she put out her hand. She heard what I said and she did something about it. She acted on what she heard. There are two parts of faith, hearing and doing. And that's exactly what Noah does. He hears God's warning. Verse 13 of chapter 6. God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth, so make yourself an ark. In his kindness, God had given the warning. He told him of the coming flood. And in his kindness, God had given him the way to be saved. We saw last week how God gave Noah these detailed instructions about how to build an ark that would survive a flood. Noah heard what God had said. But he didn't just hear. He did something about it. So 6 verse 22, Noah did everything just as God had commanded him. 7 verse 5, and Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Verse 16, just as God had commanded Noah. He heard God's command and he obeyed God's command. So true faith takes deliberate action. True faith takes deliberate action. There were loads of other people around in Noah's day, and Noah gave them the same warning that God had given him. But what set Noah apart is that he believed what he heard. How do we know? Because he built a boat. He responded in faith. Faith means hearing and doing. To use the example from a couple of weeks ago, if you were on a Caribbean island and a hurricane was approaching and the weather person gave you a warning and said you need to evacuate the island because there's a storm coming, what does faith look like? What does it look like to believe? It means packing up your bags and leaving the island. It's not enough simply to say, yeah, I think that's an accurate description. You have to do something about it. Faith is always seen in action. In fact, Noah is mentioned in other places in the Bible. Did you know that? It's not just in Genesis. So if there was a book of Noah, it wouldn't just be confined to the pages of Genesis. We hear about Noah in the New Testament, and in particular in Hebrews chapter 11. So let's turn there to Hebrews chapter 11. First person to get there, shout a page number. You get there ahead of me. Hebrews chapter 11, 1209. Thank you. Keep a finger in Genesis. Oh, it's too late to say that, isn't it? Hopefully you've kept a finger in Genesis. But this is what the New Testament says about Noah. And watch out for those two parts, hearing and doing. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, so this is talking about the faith of Noah. What does faith look like? Well, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Noah was warned about the things not yet seen. That's hearing. He heard that there was a storm coming. And so, in holy fear, he built an ark. That's doing. Hearing and doing. You can turn back to Genesis 6. Thank you. You might have seen on the news recently that there have been some really scary forest fires. Forest fires are horrible. Not least because they move so quickly. So forest fires move at about 12 to 14 miles an hour. That doesn't seem very fast, but you wouldn't be able to run much faster than that for very long. If you were sprinting, you might be able to for a little while, but you wouldn't last for too long. And so fires can quickly catch up with you, and they kill many people. In 1949, there was a forest fire in Montana in the US. It started after a lightning strike, and it spread so quickly, and so 15 firefighters were parachuted into the region to try and keep it under control. And the guy who was leading this group of 15 firefighters was a guy with a really good name. His name was Wagner Dodge. Only Americans could have names like that. Wagner Dodge. But actually, Dodge seemed to be an appropriate name for what happened next. So after trying several things, they realized that it was a losing battle. And so Dodge tried to get his men to safety. He tried to get them to the safety of a ridge in the distance. But then he quickly realized that they were never going to make it in time. And then he started to do something very strange. Wagner Dodge, in the middle of a fire, was about 100 yards behind him. He stopped and he got out a match and he lit the match and set fire to the grass that was right in front of him. It seemed like a crazy thing to do. The other guys with him had no idea what he was doing. They thought he'd just gone crazy in all of the confusion. But actually it was genius. It's what's called an escape fire. You see, where the grass had already been burned, the approaching fire had nothing left to burn. And so the fire had already fallen on this place, and it became a place of safety, an escape fire. Would they believe him? Dodge told his colleagues to jump through the fire into the place of safety behind. He was trying to direct them through the fire into this burnt out area. Would they believe him? Hearing is not enough. They had to act on what they had heard. They had to take that step of faith by jumping through the fire into the place of safety. Would they do it? Faith means hearing and doing. If Noah thought that hearing was enough, none of us would be here today. If Noah had kind of just sat back and thought, do you know what? I think you're right, God. I agree with you that the world around me is wicked. I agree that we deserve your judgment because of the wrong things that we've done. I agree, and I think you're telling the truth, that you say a storm is coming, a flood is coming. I think that's right. And I can see that if I build this boat with the dimensions you've given me and the wood that you've told me to use, if I build this boat, that I will definitely be saved. I agree with that. That's not enough. He had to build the boat. Hearing is not enough.
Faith is hearing and doing. And we see this throughout the Bible. It's not just here in Noah. In the book of Noah, in Genesis. Throughout the Bible, we see that this is the case. So if you went forward to John chapter 4, for example, you don't have to now, but there you read about a man who took Jesus at his word. That's what faith is. It's a man whose son was sick, and he goes to Jesus and asks for help. And Jesus replies, "Go, your son will live." And this is what John records. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. He heard what Jesus said and he did what Jesus commanded. Faith means hearing and doing. That's what it looks like to believe God's word. God's word is how he warns us. God's word is how he points us to the great escape, like we saw last week. And faith takes God at his word. So how do you take hold of this escape for yourself? How do you get in that lifeboat? How do you find refuge in the ark? By believing. And what does believing look like? Not just hearing and agreeing, but acting on what you've heard. And I know I'm making a very simple point, and I'm kind of going on about it for quite a while, but it's because it's so important. It's a really crucial thing to understand. Because I'm sure that lots of us here this morning would say, yeah, I believe all of the stuff that we talk about at church. At least I believe most of it. Maybe a lot of us would say, yeah, I believe all of it. I believe that it's true. Yeah, I kind of, in my head, I tick the boxes and say, yeah, I sign up to the statement of faith. I agree that what you say about the Bible is true. Yes, it's all good. But what does it actually mean to believe? Believing isn't simply agreeing with what you hear. It requires deliberate action. Jesus says, repent and believe. How do you get on the boat? How do you get in the ark? How do you experience this amazing grace? By taking deliberate action. By coming to God in prayer. Coming to the foot of the cross where Jesus provided a great escape. By taking the deliberate action of confessing your sin, asking him for forgiveness, and handing over the steering wheel of your life. So for every one of us here this morning who says, yeah, I believe, is that something that you have done? Is faith for you just something that goes on in your head? Or has it affected your life? Have you taken that deliberate action of not simply kind of agreeing with Christian truths, but actually building your whole life on the solid rock of God's word? Faith hears and does. The second part. We've lost the screen. That's okay. Let's just call the screen quits for now. You can take out the back maybe so it doesn't keep flashing up. That's great. So faith keeps hearing and doing. That's the second part. So faith hears and does. That's what faith looks like. And the second thing is that faith keeps hearing and keeps doing. Faith is not a one-off thing. It's a lifestyle. Faith isn't just how you start the walk with God. Faith is how you continue walking with God. Faith means taking God at his word day after day. And sometimes that will look crazy. Okay. People will think that you're a weirdo. Okay. That's just kind of normal. I want to prepare us for that this morning. If you're a Christian, then faith looks crazy and people will think that you're a weirdo. Youngsters, you need to know that as much as anyone else. Because at school, I'm sure that's one of the areas where it really hurts to follow Jesus, to be a Christian. So faith, as a normal walk of life, the walk of faith is a weird one. It's a strange one. It's a crazy one. Imagine with me, if you will, a massive boat the size of 2 football pitches sat in the middle of the desert. Noah looked crazy. Then it must have looked like in his old age, he was 500 years old. People must have thought, man, he's lost it. Maybe we should just take him to the care home. And he had to be committed to these beliefs as well. It took him ages to build. In chapter 5, verse 32, we read that Noah was 500 years old. And by the time he got in the ark, in chapter 7, verse 11, he's 600 years old. So it took somewhere in the region of 100 years
100 years of banging in nails. 100 years. Just think about that. 100 years of building this up. Imagine how many splinters he must have got in that time. 100 years of saying the same old things and doing the same old thing that he had to do in building this boat to be saved. But saving faith keeps on keeping on. Faith means hearing God's word and acting on it, even when it takes ages to pay off. No one likes waiting. Does anyone like waiting here this morning? I thought I should just check that statement. I don't like waiting. I get bored even waiting a couple of minutes for a bus. Imagine 100 years for this to pay off. It's a long time. But faith says, I'm going to keep relying on God. Perhaps some of us here this morning, we're about to give up on God because it feels like it's taken ages so far. Faith says, no, I'm still going to listen. I'm still going to respond. Faith means hearing and doing God's word, even when that looks really stupid. Even when everything else and everyone else around you thinks you've gone crazy. Wagner Dodge, this guy in the wildfire, he shouted to his colleagues. The fire was approaching, and so he shouted to them. He said, you need to jump through the fire into the place of safety. But they didn't believe him. It looked crazy. In the chaos, one person was heard to shout, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm getting out of here. He trusted his own way of escape. And believing God's word, it often doesn't make sense to the people around us. Just imagine for a moment what the world of Noah's day would have thought. Perhaps they pitied him. Noah, mate, are you sure you heard right? Are you sure it wasn't just a dream? God actually told you to build a boat in the middle of the desert. Maybe they thought, well, do you know what, mate, if you're going to do it, at least do it by the sea. You're stupid. They pitied him. The New Testament says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He faithfully warned people with the warning that God had given him. He kept believing and he kept preaching even when no one wanted to hear. You can imagine that the pity turned to mockery. Noah, you're a weirdo. Noah, you've lost it. Noah, you're crazy. Oh, Noah, mate, look, it's a bit cloudy today. You better hurry up. They've got their umbrellas out, dancing around, getting the water pistols out. Just like, psh, psh, did you feel that? I think it's raining, Noah. Mockery. Maybe the mockery turned to anger. Noah, I don't get why you still believe this stuff. You've been banging on for years, quite literally. You've been banging on for years about this judgment that's coming, but nothing's happened. I thought it was a phase that would pass, but you're just annoying me now. And do you know what? Actually, Noah, I'm quite offended by what you're saying. You're telling me that the way that I live isn't pleasing to God and that judgment is coming because of it. But who are you to judge my lifestyle? You know what, Noah? Shut up. But what did that verse in Hebrews say? By faith, Noah condemned the world. Faith means keeping on, keeping on. Noah kept believing what God said. He kept hearing and he kept doing, even when it took ages to pay off. And even when everyone thought he was stupid. And if you're someone this morning who gets into the ark and puts your faith in Jesus, then you are a weirdo. You're strange. I mean, that's easier for some of us than others to be weird. I know that. Just joking. But it's true. It's normal if you're a Christian to be the odd one out, to stick out like a sore thumb. Actually, our life should not be an attempt to blend in with the people around us. If you're taking faith in Jesus, it does look crazy to the world around you. People will think that you're stupid and intolerant. I was listening to a news quiz this week. And in the news quiz, Christians and those who hold a Christian view on certain moral issues were just being completely slated, a barrage of abuse and mockery for beliefs on abortion and on homosexuality and being accused of not believing in science. It was chilling to hear Christians ridiculed for what are beliefs that a lot of us would hold in this room today. But that's normal. It was hard to listen to, but that's normal. That's to be expected.
You are not like the world around you. You are different. People will think that you're stupid and intolerant. But I want to encourage us this morning to embrace the weirdness, to be okay with being weird. Keep believing God's word. Keep listening to what he says. Keep acting on it anyway. You know, in 2 Peter, we're promised that in the last days, the days that we experience, people will come and they'll say, where is this coming that was promised? Ever since our ancestors, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. People will say, nothing's happening. You're believing myths. It's fairy tales. You're crazy to believe the Bible. It's been disproved. It goes against science. It's old fashioned. It's outdated. It's intolerant. Perhaps some people will pity you. You've been brainwashed. I feel sorry for you. Perhaps the pity turns to mockery. Oh, here's Mrs. Religious. Have fun at church. Perhaps they're angry. How dare you say that my lifestyle is wrong? How dare you say that I'm going to hell? You can't judge my lifestyle. You can't judge my gender. You can't judge my sexuality. Or perhaps they just make you feel like the odd one out. She won't want to do that. There's no point inviting him to this. And perhaps the pressure for you right now is just to try and fit in, because it's painful sticking out like a sore thumb. Maybe you're feeling the pressure to drink too much, just like everyone else, or to be casual and careless in the way that you use your body sexually, or to join in with the dirty flow of conversation, or to make fun of that person behind their back, because then you'll get a laugh. Maybe you're under pressure not to talk so much about Jesus at school, or not to pray publicly, or not to read your Bible quite as much, or not to spend so much time with your Christian family here at church. And maybe that's a real pull, because you hear people mocking and they say, no, everything is how it always is. You're basing your life on something that's fake, and you're just beginning to wonder whether they might be right. Maybe you don't want to be seen as a weirdo. Let's face it, no one wants to be weird. But I want to encourage us this morning to embrace the weirdness. Be okay with being weird. Keep building your house on God's word, even when it takes ages to pay off. Even when it doesn't feel like it's making any difference. Keep building your life on God's word, even when everyone thinks you're stupid. What does faith look like? It means you keep listening to God's word, and you keep responding in the light of what you've heard. It means you keep warning people of the coming judgment, just like Noah did. You keep telling them of the way to be saved, even when the crowd is hostile. You know, in this next week, each of us will have a different week ahead of us. But every single one of us who is trusting the Lord Jesus, this week we are going onto the mission field. We are on mission. We're going with a message to proclaim. Let me share an encouragement. Someone in the church family called Anna was in hospital two weeks ago. And in loads of pain, not very well. We prayed for her earlier. And I went to see Anna, and it was such an encouragement. Because do you know what Anna said? Anna said, I know that God has got me in the right place right now. She was going through this pain that couldn't even be managed by painkillers. And she said, I know that God has a purpose for me. Why? Because she said, when I was sat in home, I wasn't able to go out and I wasn't able to talk to anyone. But here, I've got people coming to me. And she was sharing the gospel. She was giving Nick's number out to people. She was pointing them to the church saying, oh, this is where we are. Come and join with us. Even in the middle of her pain, she got that she was on a mission field. She understands that she has a unique opportunity with the people who are coming into her room each day. And that's the same for every one of us this week. We're on the mission field. As Riss and I go into hospital to have a baby, I say that, she'll be doing most of the work. But actually this week, okay, and I've got to get out of my selfish mindset that this week is about me and us as a family and about the new baby and just focusing on that. Now, of course, I do want to focus on my family. I do want to love them. But take that taken, I need to get out of that mindset of saying it's all about me. Because actually, this next week, I have got a unique mission field. As far as I know, none of you are going into hospital to have babies this week, unless you've kept it very quiet. And so I've got a unique opportunity with the midwives and the doctors and the people who'll be having babies next to us. We've got a unique opportunity to reach out to them this week. You can't reach them unless you're their neighbour or something. But I can. And in the same way, each one of us has different people that we will run across. You are on a mission field as you walk down your street. As you keep your head up so that as you see people, you can say hi and you can start a conversation. It might go nowhere, but it might. You are on a mission field as you go to the shops and see the same person at the till each time. You're on a mission field as you go to school and you're sat in your classes. You're on a mission field as you walk up and down with the friends that you do. You're on a mission field as you live with your neighbours and your friends and as you see them week by week. You're on a mission field, and the thing about mission fields is that they're hostile. We hear lots of missionary stories, and some of these guys maybe will be heading off in the front row here, heading off to various parts of the world where it is hard to be on mission. And actually, as we break new ground with the gospel, often there is a hostile response. That's normal. But what Noah encouraged us to do is to keep going with the message, even when there is a hostile response. You know, it was only Noah's family who got in the ark. No one else responded, just his sons and their sons' wives. And yet he kept preaching this faithful message of the warning of judgment and the way to be saved. Even when it's hostile. Even when no one wants to hear. You know, I'm sure it was hard for Noah to build an ark for 100 years while everyone mocked him day after day. But then the clouds really did gather and the rain really did begin to fall. And the floodwaters of the deep opened. And there was this full-on storm. And who's laughing now? It might look stupid, but it's actually wise. When you see the whole story, Noah doesn't look like the stupid one anymore. And when we get to the end of our lives, I guarantee that if you're someone who is trusting Jesus, if you're someone who is hearing God's word and doing what he says, that when you look back, you will not be the stupid one. You know, in that wildfire in Montana, Wagner Dodge, Dodge survived. He was unharmed. Two of the others actually managed to sprint to the ridge and get away. But other than that, everyone else died. They didn't believe that there was a way to safety. When the fire comes, we need a place of safety. You know, that verse in 2 Peter which talks about scoffing and mocking, people saying, oh, judgment's never going to come. Then it says this: the heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. There is a fire coming, but there is a place of safety. On the cross, Jesus suffered the fire of God's anger against sin. On the cross, the fire fell on him with full force. The penalty of sin was burned up until there was nothing left to burn. And faith is the deliberate action of finding shelter in him. Because we know that where the fire has fallen, it will not fall again. Because there is nothing left to burn. How do you take hold of that safety for yourself? It is by grace you have been saved. Through faith. Faith means building your house not on sand, but on the solid word of the God who has saved you. Faith HD. That's the thing to take away this morning. Very simply, faith hears and does. Faith keeps hearing and keeps doing. It's not just something that happens in your head. It's something that happens with your hands. Not just something that we believe about in some vague way, but something that affects every step of our walk with God. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we praise you for the gift of faith. We understand that the ability to take you at your word, to hear and respond to what we hear in your word, is a gift from you. It is not something that we do ourselves. We thank you for grace, that you provide the way to be saved. Please would you help each one of us, Lord, to take our stand on the solid word of God, to hear what you say to us, and to respond to what we hear. Please would you help us, particularly as we feel mockery and we experience people who don't want to hear the message. Please would you help us to stand firm on your word, to keep hearing, to keep doing, to keep proclaiming that warning message to others. We thank you for the wonderful truth that one day when judgment comes, we will be safe if we've found refuge in you. Thank you that one day we will look back and see that it was not all a waste of time. That you really did provide the way to be saved and that you really did save us. Please would you help us this week when we feel the pressure to give in, when we feel the pressure just to tone down the message. Please would you help us to be those who keep hearing and keep doing what you tell us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.